Being human, do you ever wonder what makes us who we are? Our habits, preferences, or where we came from? We are expressing ourselves in thousands of ways every day through our choices. Let's have a conversation with people who are having interesting lives. My name is Alan Walker. I'm a doctor of chiropractic and a human being.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today on this podcast of Being Human. We're directing this particular one generally more to chiropractors because we have an amazing guest, a genius, someone who's been around a chiropractic business for quite some time, his whole life. And I've got so many questions that I want to ask him about how he got involved in chiropractic. How did he see it first? And what chiropractic means to him. But this particular chiropractor we're going to speak to has done immense traveling, has educated so many chiropractors, graduates, and experienced chiropractors alike. Gentleman has also written books and set up an organization for training chiropractors throughout the world, both thinking about the philosophy, but also looking at the actual skills involved in making the chiropractic adjustment. So I want to a very warm welcome to you, Arno. Arno Bernier, thank you so much for joining us today. I just felt very fortunate that I've managed to get some really great guests, legendary guests on with us. Thank you so much for saying that you'd come on this show for me. I've got a lot of questions for you.
Alan, you are so, so welcome. And I'm very grateful that you invited me on your show. This is going to be amazing. So thank you.
Absolutely. More amazing for me. You're someone who I've actually used last year quite a lot when I was on a journey in my mind of what I was wanting to achieve as a professional. And so I was given your details by a great friend of mine, Mike Paul, who has also in the past used you to help him to develop his consciousness in the way that he wanted to build his business. And you helped him clarify that. And you did the same for me. And I thank you so much from deep in my heart. Thank you so much for that, Arno. So, yes, I'm very pleased to have you on here today because you are a legend to me as well. Can I ask you? There's a lot of questions I've got. I mean, we've written book and I'm interested to know about this, but I'd like to know a little bit about your history, because a lot of people know you, or they know the name because you come up regularly worldwide within the chiropractic circles. But it's just to have a little bit about yourself, really, about where you come from, where you work, where you live, your family, if they've moved different countries, why? If you don't mind me asking, and then I'd like to know some more about the professional history as well, and how you came into chiropractic.
Great. Well, Alan, to be frank with you, the past is not really, really relevant to me. It's almost more like where we are right now today. But since you ask, I'll give you a very brief synopsis of my journey. I was born in Paris, France. I stumbled into chiropractic in 1973. I ended up going to Sherman College of Chiropractic in Spartanburg, South Carolina in 1973. I graduated in 1977. And then I practiced for 25 years full-time in Yardley, Pennsylvania, and another 25 years in Colorado part-time. While I was also giving seminars, doing public speaking, having a training camp worldwide. So that's pretty much my journey. And obviously, prior to chiropractic, I had entered René Descartes Medical University in Paris, France. And I had been there for 2 years. And then I worked for a year in a hospital. And that's when, as a result of a motorcycle crash, which I call a motorcycle on purpose, because I believe that everything is connected in the universe. There was really no crashes or accident. I stumbled into a chiropractor in Paris, France, named Jean Bellaval, and my life was transformed that very first day that I met this chiropractor, who was powerful, charismatic, clear, very grounded in the philosophy of chiropractic. And he opened up for me a completely different perspective on life, health, healing, wellness, well-being. And that spoke to my soul, spoke to myself. And I felt I had stumbled into my path in life and my reason for being. So that's pretty much my journey.
Were you adjusted on that first meeting, Arno?
I was adjusted on the very first visit. I had an extremely short interaction with him after I had explained my reason for being in his office, which was severe migraine headaches and loss of strength and sensation on the right side of my body as a result of a motorcycle crash. And he listened to me very intently, very carefully, with a lot of presence. And when I was done, he spoke three sentences that ignited a spark in my consciousness. And he said, "There is nothing that I can do with what is wrong with you. What I can do, however, is address what is right in you. You cannot fight disease, you must turn on life. You cannot fight darkness, you must turn on light."
What was his recommendation to you, this chiropractor? He adjusted you, and what was the recommendation?
His recommendation is that I come back to see him because we were in France in 1973 when chiropractic was very new. And he said, "Just come back next week." And I came back the following week, and we grew a very strong relationship. And he invited me, I think it was on my third visit, and invited me to have lunch with him. And during lunch, he'd really share in depth the chiropractic philosophy and the principle. And we had a really strong friendship that lasted until the very day that he passed.
Oh, amazing that you met someone in your life that was going to be a legend to you, like you are to people like me.
Absolutely. He was a really strong force in chiropractic in France at the time, Jean Bélaval. There was only, I think, 55 chiropractor or 90 chiropractor, I can't remember, a very small number of chiropractor for the entire French population. So at the time, he was taking care of celebrity, government people, officials. So he had a presence, and he had a practice in Paris, France, and a practice in Cannes, in the south of France, in Provence. And he flew back and forth between the two practices on a private plane.
Wow. Can I ask you about your first clinic when you first started your initial business? Obviously, you went to university and you flew to America for university?
Yes, correct. I went to Spartanburg, South Carolina, straight from Paris, France to New York, from New York to Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I started school there. When I graduated, I went to first to Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. And I practiced there illegally for 6 months because the state of South Carolina did not want to recognize a school, mostly for turf protection. So they didn't want a lot of graduates to come to South Carolina and affect their practices. And I thought that was very unethical, that it wasn't right. The school was a fantastic school. I still say today that I received the very best chiropractic education to be had at the time and still today. I don't think there is any place where you can have an education that was as solid, rock solid in the philosophy, art, and science of chiropractic as I received in 1973. So I decided to go to South Carolina, Hilton Head, and I practiced there for 6 months in the hope of being arrested for practicing illegally and then exposing the state of South Carolina to the devious ways that they had. So that was my first practice. That didn't work out very, very well in the end. And I went back to France for about a year. And then I came back to the United States and started practicing in Yardley, Pennsylvania, which this is where my practice was for 20 plus years.
Okay. And were you the only chiropractor within your office?
No, I was with a classmate of mine that was not in my class, but that was a Sherman grad named Claude Lessard. And we practiced together for about a year and a half. And then our relationship, we parted. he decided to join somebody else's practice because he had found a new faith, religious faith, and he wanted to be with a chiropractor of the same religious faith.
Okay, so I've often found that spirituality or religion has a big calling with chiropractors, and it seems to give them power to do the work, the amazing work they do. Are you in agreement with that?
Yes, I'm in agreement in the sense that the essence of chiropractic philosophy is a recognition that there is the universal intelligence that permeate all space, time, matter, all of, in the universe. And basically, because chiropractic is not a religion, chiropractic is a philosophy, science, and art. The foundation of our philosophy is a major premise of chiropractic, that there is a universal intelligence in all matter. So basically, the major premise states that no matter where you look, whether it's a marble table, the space between rooms, anywhere you look, anything is permeated by universal intelligence. And that is a spiritual component of chiropractic, because that universal intelligence also permeates and impregnates and is part of the entire human being. Every cell, every molecule, every atom in our body is filled with universal intelligence, which when it is within our body, we call it innate intelligence. The intelligence basically that design us as human beings from a speck of matter invisible to the naked eye. And within that speck of matter was locked the knowledge, the wisdom, the know-how, the architecture of everything that we are, from the brain, the central nervous system, the heart. If you think about it, you know, what kind of intelligence design the liver, the pancreas, the kidneys, the gallbladder, the eye, out of a speck of matter invisible to the naked eye that unfolded and grew during embryological development into the totality of what we are as a human being. Another very important component is that the life force is basically the energy that powers the human body. If you think about it, if universal intelligence is present in all matter, it means it's present in inanimate and inanimate matter as well. So if you have a component of chiropractic, is a triune of life: intelligence, matter, and force. If you have intelligence and matter, that's what you are looking at when you look at a slab of marble or a wall or a car tire. But it's not alive. It cannot adapt, it cannot reproduce, it cannot excrete, it cannot show the signs of life. But when you have the extra component of life force, now you have a living being or a living structure. Whether it's an animal, a human being, or a plant, there is a life force component. So now you have the triunity of life: intelligence, matter, and force. And in that sense, chiropractic has a very strong spiritual component, because life force is light, which is also a spirit within matter, within the human body. And in essence, the essence of chiropractic adjustment is to open up the channel between brain and body, to open up the pipeline for life force to flow as freely as possible, so that the innate intelligence of life can express itself fully. So I know it's a mouthful, but it's a reality of what we have in chiropractic.
The philosophy itself, I'm so pleased to hear you talking about this directly. This is amazing. When can I ask you a question about, you've written a book, and I'm really interested to know why you decided to write this book, and what was your intention, what was your motivation, what inspired you?
So Alun, as you know, I stepped out of practice 3 years ago. So I had been practicing for 45 years. I stepped out of practice and I decided to take time off for myself, not retirement, because I don't believe in retirement. I don't think retirement is a terrible term, but I believe in a different phase of life. So I knew in a different phase of life, what we call the winter of my life. And in the winter of my life, I had over the years written bits and pieces of things that I had shared with the public. And I decided, you know, I need to put it all together. And I dedicated 7 months of my life when I was in the Baja, Mexico, to create a roadmap to basically coalesce all of those stories, all of those things that I understood about chiropractic and how to communicate to the public. I felt that there was a huge void in our profession. There is a lot of incredible books that have been written, but I felt they were written for the chiropractor, by the chiropractor, with a chiropractic point of view, almost with a chiropractor as an audience. And I wanted to write a book that will touch the public at large, as well as chiropractors and chiropractic students. A book that was not going to be dogmatic, that was going to be interesting, captivating, and yet infused with an understanding of universal intelligence, innate intelligence, life force, the triune of life, the birthing process, the dying process, the understanding of the symptomatology of the body, what I call the language of the human body, the understanding of symptoms, sickness, and disease, the healing. So all of this is infused and interjected in that book, in a book that is a fantastic read. I mean, the feedback from the public, which I was almost afraid of when I put the book out, I thought, how will it be received? How will the public and the chiropractic profession receive that book? It has been extremely well received. The book is everywhere in Australia, New Zealand, Spain, Austria, Germany, the UK, Canada, United States, France. People have been really loving the book. And actually some chiropractor alone bought 40 copies. And one chiropractor from Washington State bought 40 copies. And he said the first morning that he was in practice and received the box, it was all gone. All the books were gone. So the book has had an impact on the public. I live right now for 6 months a year in Baja, California, in Mexico, in a community of people that are from all over the world. And the book has been circulating in my community of people that knew nothing about chiropractic. And the response that I have from them is, I wish I had known that earlier in my life. I'm going to pass on this message to my children. I'm going to pass on this message to my grandchildren. And this is from people that were, you know, in the banking industry, that were lawyers, physicists, very highly educated people, felt like the book was a transformation in their perspective, in the narrative about life, about health, about healing, about well-being, about wellness. So I'm very pleased that not being, English is not my native language, French is my native language. And I wrote this book with no editor. There was no editor, only the spelling and the grammar was edited by a friend of mine. And the book is really, really well received. So that was the reason that I wanted to write that book, because I felt there was a void in chiropractic to be able to pass on the global overall message of chiropractic in a very interesting way and in a way that really people can't argue with. Because it's not dogmatic, it's not fanatical at all, but it's so presented in a way that you can argue with the message. And you can argue with the experiences, because I share personal experiences or experiences that I've seen in practice, that I've witnessed in practice, and you cannot deny an experience. But once I share that experience, I infuse it with a principle behind what happened.
Yeah, so the book itself, the beautiful book, is called The Cafe of Life. And so the next question that I've got is, one is, where can people get it from? And two, can you explain about the mosquito principle?
Great, that's a great question, because the book is called The Cafe of Life and the Mosquito Principle. So first of all, the book is available on Amazon, hardcover and softcover. It's also available on Kindle. Within the book, there is 7 illustration templates that are beautiful, absolutely extraordinary. So the mosquito principle comes from something that I read from the Dalai Lama, that basically the mosquito principle is that no one is too small to make a difference. And the Dalai Lama years ago wrote a quote that said, if you don't think you can make a difference in the world, try sleeping with a mosquito. And we all know that one mosquito can make your life hell miserable. Or your night hell.
I'm about
because,
to.
You know, you're trying to like.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you try to get it. So that's basically the mosquito principle. No one is too small to make a difference. And I felt that I wanted to make a difference. And I always wanted to make a difference in the world because my chiropractor made a difference for me in my world. And chiropractic as a philosophy, science, and art did make a huge difference in my life. It changed the way that I interacted with my body. It changed the way that I interacted with my health and well-being, the way that I raised my children. It changed my perception on education, on spirituality, on ecology, on the birthing process, on the dying process. So the impact that chiropractic has had on my life is huge, has been huge. If it has transformed my life that deeply, it can also transform other people's lives that deeply.
No, absolutely. Could you explain a little bit to our chiropractic audience what the Cafe of Life practice model is, please?
So the Cafe of Life came to me as by looking at the way that I was practicing. For me, my practice had an eclectic environment that when people came through my door, I wanted them to feel like, oh, this is very different. This has nothing to do with a doctor's office. This is totally unique. I have never seen this before. I stepped in, there's beautiful music, great decor, beautiful artwork, plants, people in the waiting room with children and baby running around, it's alive. So I created an eclectic environment, yet a very professional environment. And within that environment, I felt that I was delivering the nectar of life in during my talks and my educational process, which I call deprogramming process, to deprogram people from the dominant narrative of the mechanistic, medical, symptom suppression, war on sickness and disease model of life. And that through the adjustment, I was releasing the nectar of life. So I coined it the Cafe of Life. And over the years, I shared that model during my trainings with people that participated in my training. And as a result, it affected the way not only people practice, because at the time in the 80s and 90s and 70s, you know, a chiropractic practice was very generic. It could be one day a dentist office, you change the sign, the shingle, the next day it's a physical therapist office, the next day it's a doctor's office, the next day it's a chiropractic office. I wanted to create an environment that would shock the mind of the public the moment they enter. So the Cafe of Life was not a franchise. It's a model that I shared with the profession, in which, for example, you, Alun, would out of your own expression, we design an office that is a complete departure from the typical doctor's office, yet is professional. And then you as a chiropractor would have high level skills, will be very grounded in the philosophy, and will be willing to educate or deprogram the public with regular connection, regular talks in your office. I gave in my office talks every 2 weeks that were not just a chiropractic lecture. The chiropractic lecture was a tiny portion of my talk that would come organically in the middle of my talk. But the topics that I address was universal intelligence, innate intelligence, life force, the triune of life, the language of the body, a lot of the things that I share in my book. So I had topics on all kinds of subjects that relate to life, health, healing, wellness, and well-being. And I made a very clear distinction with the public and in my talk that we're not at war with medicine, that medicine is a separate and distinct profession and field of expertise. But we also have a separate and distinct profession and field of expertise. Medicine specializes in the suppression of symptoms, sickness, and disease, and the treatment of symptoms, sickness, and disease. It specializes in pathologies and morbidity, and we specialize in releasing life in the body, in facilitating natural healing in the body, and we especially specialize in well-being and wellness. So we have completely two different fields of expertise. They don't need to be at war with one another. It is a matter of fact that I have yet to find a single MD throughout all my years in chiropractic that I had an interaction with, that when I shared truly what chiropractic is, that it is not a treatment for symptom, it is not a treatment for sickness and disease, it has nothing to do with competing with the field of medicine, I have yet to find a single medical doctor that didn't agree or felt like, oh, this is wonderful. Can I even receive care for myself and my family? So I think the travesty within our profession alone is that many chiropractors have been educated in a pseudo-chiropractic education, a pseudo-medical education. As a result, they are confused in their message. The message is not clear. They communicate that they're treating asthma or infection or headaches or neck pain or back pain and so on. But chiropractic is never a treatment for anything. It is only to allow the body to heal itself within the limitation of time and matter by releasing the life force, which is a means by which innate intelligence coordinate, organize, heal, repair the human body.
That makes perfect sense to me, and it's beautifully put together by yourself there. With your public speaking...
You know, it's very freeing as a chiropractor when you know exactly what is it that you do and what is it that you don't do. If you are clear that you're not treating symptom, trying to suppress symptom, but instead that you're just releasing life force by opening the pipeline between brain and body, by opening the channel to which life force flow, when you are clear in that, you're free. You're completely free of any burden, of any wanting to please people, wanting to palliate things. You're just free. And in that freedom, something magical happened. Earlier during our conversation, you asked me about the seminars that I gave to improve the skills of the profession, the adjusting skills of the profession. When you have great skills, adjusting skills, and you're grounded in your principle and philosophy, you can be in present time consciousness with people, and you can be in a state of being that you probably experienced when you went to Ukraine to serve people. When you went to Ukraine, because I know that you did that, when you went to Ukraine, you wanted to just give of yourself, give of your service, and you did it out of the goodness of your being, the goodness of your heart. In that state of being, something magical happened. Any chiropractor that had been on mission trip to different countries, and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people in a day, strictly seeing them, clearing them, adjusting them in present time consciousness, free of any impediment, free of any sort of insurance, payment, or anything, with an open heart, out of the goodness of themselves, have witnessed and experienced miracles taking place. That is the essence of what is available for any chiropractor when you are grounded with fantastic skills, but you are solid and clear in your principle.
Yeah, you're right. I did see it was an education going to the Ukraine and to working with those people. And when you're doing something with your heart, there's no remuneration in the way of money coming for your skills. You're just doing it because you know that's the place you're supposed to be. And I felt that. And I'm going back again in July. And I hope it's not going to be my last time there. But things are getting, a lot of people don't hear what's happening in Ukraine at the moment, but it's still exactly the same. Nothing's changed. It isn't quieter. It's still the same. So anyway, I'm going to go back there in July. Can I ask you about your public speaking journey? Why you initially started to teach and to use your voice to get through to as many people as possible, and also how you why you wanted to start your organization for training chiropractors, which was MLS.
So first, my public speaking. So I felt, as I mentioned earlier, that chiropractic philosophy and principle about life, about health, about healing, transformed my life. So if you see a great movie or read a fantastic book, you have a tendency to want to share it with other people. So I felt if chiropractic principle and philosophy changed my life in such a profound way, Why can I not share that with other people so that it too can transform other people's life in a profound way? So I decided to give every 2 weeks educational program, which I call deprogramming talks, about the building blocks, the cornerstone of chiropractic principle and the principle about life and healing. So I started doing that in my office. And at first I had 3 or 4 people because the office was brand new, just started. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, I had 2 people. 2 weeks later, I had 7 people. 2 weeks later, I had 10 people. 2 weeks later, I had 6 people. And then the next thing I knew, within a few months, I had 25, 30, 40, 50 people, to the point where at some point, I had over 100 people at my talks on a regular basis. So then I saw the impact that it had on the public. But then the word got out and local chiropractors started to come to my talks in my office. The next thing I knew, and this was not my plan, it was completely organic. The next thing I knew, somebody said, can you speak to organization, to a state organization? Can you speak at this seminar? And the ball kept rolling. And then I had public speaking engagement in all kinds of places, throughout the United States, Canada, and different countries in the world. So it happened in spite of me, completely organically, out of my desire to share something that had touched my life so deeply.
That's amazing. And so the organization, you called it MLS. And how are you teaching there yourself now, or is it this moved on to something even bigger than you?
So at the beginning, my training was called Masterpiece Seminar. And part of Masterpiece Seminar was MLS, which was strictly teaching chiropractors and chiropractic students a high level of skill by addressing the physical and metaphysical component of the chiropractic adjustment. Most chiropractic training in the skills of adjusting are strictly physical training. But there is a very strong component that is metaphysical. And I wanted to integrate the two, to teach the physical training, to really train people like professionals, because in my view, we are professionals. We come from a professional school. We should behave and conduct ourselves like professionals. If you're a professional violinist, you practice every day, you warm up before the concert, you behave like a professional musician. And I felt there is no reason why we should do anything differently when our main delivery is to release life in the body. So I designed a training that is a professional training on a physical level, but also on a metaphysical level. I wanted people to understand the power of silence in adjusting. I wanted people to really connect with what it is to be grounded, to be in present time consciousness, and to have an open heart. And I also wanted people to really learn how to read a human being. We're not adjusting vertebrae, we're not adjusting spine, we're adjusting a human being. And we need to learn to look at a human being and read that human being. What is there? What is available there? Am I looking at a person that has a dominant, what I call fire component, water component, earth component, wind component? What are the layers? What is the age of that person? What is the texture of their bone? What is the texture of their skin? How muscular or not muscular is the body? What is the body telling me about that person's lifestyle and the way they conduct their life? And to learn progressively during the training, to look at all of those components and much more. And then after a while, to be able to coalesce all this into an instant read on a human being. And out of that read on that human being, how do we approach the adjustment? So the other thing is, through the training, to learn to open your heart. Because as you know, you're probably slightly in a different state of being in your practice than you were when you were in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Or for people that have been on mission trip, they can realize, yeah, when I'm in my practice in the UK, I'm in a slightly different state of being than I'm when I was in Brazil on a mission trip, where I felt free, where I felt completely open, when I gave of myself until I'm exhausted because people kept coming to get adjusted, when I got out of my own way. So how do we train people to do that so that they can have a gauge with themselves? Oh, I'm not there yet. What do I need to do to get myself there so that they can be in that state of being in practice? So as I mentioned, we blended the physical and metaphysical component of chiropractic. BJ Palmer talked about the adjustment with that extra something. What is that extra something? When you watch BJ Palmer adjust upper cervical on the roof of Palmer College in the early 1900s, you can feel the intensity of the connection of the presence prior to the delivery of a toggle recoil. You can feel the incredible amount of total presence and focus in that moment to deliver the adjustment. So that's what we taught, and that's MLS seminar, and now is being taught by senior staffs that have passed on the seminar too. And we have extensive staff in Europe and in the United States.
I mean, I understand as well, there is some, as often happens, there's other courses from people who've run with everything that you've taught, and then they've started their own courses, but you can see they're following a very, very similar line. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I don't think.
Correct.
Yeah, no, Arno, I've thoroughly enjoyed, I always do, listening to the information that you've got to offer, and this has been amazing. You're talking about the book, The Cafe of Life, and the Mosquito Principle. Hearing about you explaining how you got into chiropractic in the first place, how you'd seen it, and how that was probably the most important, one of the most important things that happened to you in your life, and it's totally changed your life. It was wonderful listening to the sort of education program about how you got involved in this public speaking, which you've done in your own clinic, and now how it's become something which has been worldwide, and starting the MLS program off, which again is international. So, I mean, I'm over the moon that I've actually been able to have you on this podcast, and I'm so pleased. It's up to me now to make sure it's shared so that people can see someone like yourself, a real time legend who's achieved so much as a chiropractor, and to be looked upon by your peers and within other health professions, like not the people we're not competing with them, but the medical models who are also trying to help people's health, but in a different way to what we do. I'm so pleased. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on, Arno. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I'd like to ask you on again. Perhaps we can leave it a little bit of time and bring you on again with, there's more than this that I would like to know about yourself. So perhaps I can ask you in perhaps later on in the year.
Alan, I'd be delighted to do another talk with you and Zoom call. I feel a strong heart-to-heart connection with you. The way that you conduct yourself when you told me that you were leaving your practice to go into Ukraine to serve the people of Ukraine, I felt that's what we need in our profession. People that are willing to not just serve themselves, but serve the principle and serve humanity at large. And you are doing that. So I always felt a very strong connection with you when we spoke. And I see you as a genuine, loving, caring, open human being. And I really appreciate you inviting me on the show, and we can do it again anytime.
Absolutely. And look, Arno, thank you so much for the time that you gave me last year, because that made some massive differences in the direction that I wanted to go. And that's another conversation that for us to have. Thank you again for coming on the podcast, Arno. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
So welcome.